Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I'm sure, like me, you remember the heart of the shutdown and all of the praise and the press releases that were coming out of how, oh, we love our essential workers and thank goodness for our frontline heroes, especially those folks who work in the transit industry who, frankly, they got just battered by the virus. But we were told, hey, you know, we need them. They're essential. You know, like the grocery store workers and the fast food workers, and of course our healthcare workers, you know, just heaps of praise and a couple of pennies. There were a couple of companies made a lot of hay out of the fact that, hey, we're going to give you a short time raise. Sadly, they've clawed all that back. No press release on the clawback. So what we're seeing is, you know, no longer frontline heroes, no longer essential, no longer front page news. So it's open season on abusing them. And one of the places that is happening is out in Seattle, as the transit authority there is not only talking about potentially clawing back a boatload of money, but also potentially laying a bunch of people off. That's why I've asked Ken Price to come talk with us. He's the president of the Amalgamated Transit Union, Local 587 out there. Ken, thanks for taking time for us.
Why, thank you, Rick.
So here we are. I'm sure you, like everybody else, saw the press releases and the headlines, essential workers, heroes, frontline heroes, and, you know, a couple of pennies and a lot of praise and pats on the back. Now have those pats on the back turned into kicks in the behind?
They have definitely got kicked in the behind, and then we're able to do our own little bit of kicking, and I think the emotions that were brought out by our rally really kind of put them on their heels and rattled them a little bit. So we're happy today, but we know that they're going to continue to come at us.
So walk me through what the plan was, because look, you know, I know a lot of employers got a lot of really good public relations out of, you know, hey, we're going to give our employees an extra $2. Oh, hey, we're going to, you know, give them, you know, this, that, or the other thing. And, oh, you know, maybe masks with their name on it. Who knows? What were they talking about taking from you guys?
Well, they were willing to give the hazard pay. It was always you're lucky to have a job attitude after you look back on it, and then it slowly, and the fight for PPE was always our idea, and then they finally slowly got to the idea. We have been wanting shields for 10 years now because they want to now collect fares. We're getting shields, right, when we have no money. When King County had $1 billion in reserves, they couldn't find the shields. It was our thinking and judgments that made all this stuff happen with the help of our international.
Right. So what you're telling me then is, you know, had they listened to you, had the executives of your transit authority listened to you 10 years ago, maybe you'd have been in a much better position to handle the pandemic, and ultimately, you know, maybe some of your members don't get infected.
Most definitely, we would have been collecting fares, I believe, the whole way, because you'd had that protection, and we would not have. We've been lucky so far, what we think, because we're in transit, we're exposed every day. But it was King County's choice to not collect fares, to not have shields.
Yeah, so now I understand. Let us know where you are now, because I understand that the executive, their idea was to claw back all of your raises that you guys had just negotiated in your last contract for, what, like the next 2 or 3 years? Was that accurate?
Yes. He tried to walk back on the deal we signed in February before the pandemic, actively tried to fight or undermine us at the county council level. We rallied hard with them, and they voted 8-1 to accept our vote. Even after all said and done, our executive says I could have vetoed it. Well, your county council sent you a strong message. So, but it was because of us. It would have went down if we wouldn't have acted.
Right. You know, this is another one of those examples, and why I think it's so important to talk about what you guys are doing, is this is another example of why you need to have a labor union in your workplace. Without it, this just happens, and nobody can say boo about it. It's just, it is what it is. When you've got a contract, when you've got something in writing, and you've got a union willing to fight for you, they don't just get to do this arbitrarily.
No, and again, we're proud to be able to be that example to anybody else, because during the pandemic, we're very lucky, double-digit raises. They're going to be going into effect here real soon. We're secure for the next 3 years. And that's the way it should be. There are a lot of folks will say, well, why didn't you give up the raises and save this or that? But you would have been coming back to lesser of a job. Prices have not gone down. They have gone up. Milk is more expensive. So, yes, we fought them, and now we have what we think is a livable wage.
Okay, so let me ask you this, because obviously they're going to say, you know, why didn't you kick back? You know, we're in a crisis, Ken. It's a global pandemic. You know, now's the time we need to all chip in, tighten our belts, that line of reasoning. Because, hey, the transit authority is going to lose money, they say. What's your response?
Well, we were in over a $1 billion contract, and the wages total package increase was about $75 million. If you can't find that kind of money within your $1 billion just for transit, then there's something wrong. You take care of your workers first, because that is what you're in business for, is taking care of your workforce. And so we really thought that they were able to find that money, and rightly so. We will come back, and we'll help the economy come back. We're that essential. We're important.
Now, if you were essential to be operating during a global pandemic when people are getting sick and dying, you're sure as hell essential enough to make a decent living during the time afterwards. My other question is, you know, the federal government was, you know, handing out a boatload of money. Did they not get part of that to help keep people on the job, not lay folks off? Wasn't that accessible?
It was a total of a big boatload of money, $234 million for King County, and we're still waiting to see where that money has gone, right? Where are these documents that say where that money went before you try to cut wages or cut jobs?
Because, you know, this wasn't the point that there would be no layoffs if people took these jobs, because one of the threats, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the articles that I read is, you know, the threat was if you don't allow us to steal these wages back from you, we're gonna lay a boatload of people off. Isn't by taking that money them saying, you know, we're not gonna do that until, I guess it was something like October?
Yeah. So the money was yes, the threat to save layoffs, but that wouldn't have saved the cut in service. And you need bodies in the seat to save the service. You can't offer service if you don't have the bodies in the seat.
Right.
So it was never going to be that, in our opinion.
Okay, and ultimately, you know, to bring the service back, the economy has to come back. But here's the thing, and this is where my question has always been. You know, public transit is a public good, in my view. It should be part of the commons. It should be something that runs and runs on time and is accessible to us when we need it. Isn't this one of those moments where, you know, we should have it before things start coming back, so that public transit can aid in that return to an economy that's growing?
Most definitely. If you're behind when the economy breaks loose, people are not going to be able to get to work that new job because it's undependable service or it runs every half hour. So you're exactly right.
Yeah, so the argument that I make, Ken, is that, you know, by cutting service, aren't you inevitably hampering any recovery that might happen?
Yes, and putting operators and the public in harm's way, because Now you're going to, the first thing they're going to do is, such as Portland is doing, is now all of a sudden it's 3 foot social distancing, right? We're 6 feet, and they're going to just compromise that and try to do that at overtime wages instead of what they had was experienced younger folks that they wanted to lay off.
Right. You know, because here's the thing, and this, you know, going back to, as you had said a moment ago, you 10 years ago wanted shields, and I have had people on the program saying that they believe the drivers should be completely partitioned off, because there's also, you know, not just the virus, but there's also, especially for bus drivers, there's the added threat of, you know, violence that happens against drivers, and we see videos of it all the time. Isn't this one of those moments where you go, maybe we need to be partitioning off the driver completely from the motoring public to be able to keep them safe, because they deal with so many people getting on and off their bus?
It is a workstation. It is a work desk, and we believe that to be true. Our international believes that. The best designs are over in Europe, where Vegas has a very good design. It's totally separate from the public. Doors boarding in the back. You have a glass shield here that does not interfere at all with your vision of your mirrors or your windshield. That is the best design.
So isn't this the moment? I mean, because I keep saying, out of this pandemic, out of this tragedy, this crisis, whatever, however you want to portray it, there's an opportunity to start doing things right. And this sounds like one of those things where, you know, maybe there could be federal money put aside to help ensure that we do this right, so that the next time this happens, because there are some experts who say, get ready, there might be another one, that we don't have to go through this again and again and again.
Well, and you're touching on something we, as the whole international ATOR transit industry, need to do, and that is, at a higher level, is contact the legislator, your senators, to say, we need this kind of funding. It is their responsibility to put that kind of dependable, safe service out there. So that's what we started to do. One of the things county council said to us is, you need to work with us. And hey, we've already sent our letters to our senators saying, we need this kind of funding. We did that during this time. We weren't just thinking currently. So we are already working and sending that message for you for years down the road. And we'll continue to do that. Yeah. But you have to work with us.
Yeah, it just seems to me we need people who are thinking forward and thinking smarter for the future. And this is stuff, you know, I've been talking about for a very long time. It's just a shame that it takes, you know, this to get the conversation going again. Last question I've got for you, because, you know, obviously you guys had your big rally on Friday. It got a lot of public, as I saw, a lot of public support. Is this now dead? Is this over? Are you guys past this and moving in a forward direction, or is this still a possibility that they could claw back these raises?
They cannot claw back these raises. The contract got implemented first day today. They have given us information that our retro pay and our raises will be coming in September. So we have other funding measures that we need to move forward for, because we do have to claw for some more money, and we'll participate in those campaigns moving forward.
Well, good stuff. Congratulations, Ken. You guys did great work. Keep it up. I'd love to have you come back and share with us some more on what you guys are up to. Good stuff. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thank you very much. Have a good night, Rick.
You as well. Ken Price, president of the Amalgamated Transit Union, Local 587. Good folks there. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.